Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. Gemara says, Tanur Banan, Uchulan, Shechazru Behen, Ein Mikablim, Otan, Olamit. They were speaking about the Kabbalah, the acceptance of the Chaverut, people who wanted to be Chaverim. And now, the Braita that we're bringing, the Tosefta, is that Kulan Shechazru Behen. Question is, what does that mean, Kulan Shechazru Behen? Rashi says, Habal Kabel Direi Chaverut, Chutz Mi Davar Achad. That a person wanted to accept Chaverut, except for one item. That's what we spoke about on the previous Amud. And now they're coming back and they're saying, no, you know, we'll do the whole thing now. So Chazru means they came back again, but now they're trying to do it right. According to Rashi, they did it incorrectly the first time because they wanted to do it Chutz Mi Davar Achad. And now they're approaching us to do it the right way. And on that, the Braita says, Emi Kablin Oto Olamit Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, Chazru Bimat Moniot. If they do this privately, since they tried to trick us and we didn't know about it, they were only doing it in private, they were a little bit of a hypocrite, therefore we don't accept them. If they publicly had shown that they did not keep the Divrei Chaverut, then we accept them because we know exactly what their story is. They're very clear. When they don't do it, we know they're not doing it, and therefore we'll accept them back now when they intend to do it. Igadamri, they're just the opposite. In Masudiran Bematmoniot Mikablim Otam, the other way around. If they only do it privately, which is they were not to Mechalol Shem Shamayim, they only did it quietly, then we'll accept them back. But for us, once they've made a big stink about it and they've been Mechalol Hashem, eh, Mikablim Otam. And then you have Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shu ben Karchomim, ben Kach, doesn't matter, Mikablim Otam. Shum Shinemar, Shubu Bonim, Shubavim. There's always that opportunity for tshuva. That's something that we've seen before. Rashi quotes this at the end of Menachot. There we talk about the Kohanim of Beit Chonyo. There is a restriction for any Kohen that was Mimir Dato to come back and perform or practice like a Kohen. And therefore they were not allowed to duchen. Rashi over there quotes, and is a major machloket in the Rishonim, then you have na'al delet lifnei shavim. Then you close the door to people doing tshuva. If a Kohen knows he's going to be do tshuva, come back and he will not be a Kohen anymore. He won't duchen. Then they won't let him back. And therefore, many of the Rishonim, including Rashi, want to be matir, Kohen, Shemir, Dato, in order to duchen. And here you see the same idea here, that we always keep the door open, the petach open, for doing tshuva. Amar Yitzvak ish karako, Amar Rabbi Yochanan alocha koto zug. The alocha is like that pair. That's the way Rashi reads this. The issue here is, Chazru behen, they're coming back to us to re-accept Divrei Chaverut. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam, and which is the simple way, I would have read the Breita, the Tosefta, with that Rashi's interpretation is, Kulan Shechazru Behen is the Kaya Resha, that is somebody who already had accepted Divrei Chaverut. And then it says, V'chadar Ketani V'chulan Shechazru Behen, Klomar, Shechazru L'Suram V'kilkilu Ma'aseyem. Chazru Behen means that they were Chozer B'Sheila. They accepted Divrei Chaverut, and then they left it. And now they want to come back again. So as opposed to Rashi's understanding where the original Kabbalah was flawed, first Kabbalah was flawed, and then they're now coming back and want to accept it properly. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, they accepted it fully up front. Then they violated that acceptance, and now they want to come back again and accept again. Which is probably the simpler way to read the Tosefta. It's about the context of the Tosefta, the ratio of the Tosefta, and what comes beforehand, including the story, the issue that we had yesterday about accepting something, Chutz Mi Davar Achad. Which does this connect to? Does it connect to the issue of accepting things without one item? Or does it connect to the fact of just pure acceptance of Chaverut? And now, Chazru Behen, the question is, what's the Chozer going on? Rashi says it's Chozer Behen, not they want to accept it properly. Before they accepted it inappropriately, now they're going to accept it properly. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam says, no, they accepted it properly, they just violated their acceptance of Chaverut. They violated the terms of their Chaverut, and now they want to do tshuva and come back. And then you have the same machloket again, which is basically running the gamut of all the permutations. You have Rabbi Meir says, can't come back. On the other extreme, you have Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Shimon saying that you can always come back. And in the middle, you have the two Lashonot and Rabbi Huda, which are Beferhesi and Betzina, and you have both sides there. One time, Beferhesi yes, Betzina no, and the other way around. So that gives you the whole permutation. So Tarabanan. Rishana hayu umrim, chaver menase gabai, dochin oto mechaveruto. A person was originally a chaver, and then he takes on a position in the government. He's probably a tax collector for the king in order to take taxes from the Jews. And that was seen as a very, both lucrative, but questionably ethically and morally, that type of position. Right, we saw that at the end of yesterday's daf. And therefore, we would think that automatically, if we accept that position, we'd throw him out of his chaverut. So, naseh gavai, dochin oto mechaverutot. He loses his status as a chaver. Then, Piresh, if he leaves the gabayhood, then em mekablin oto, we don't take him back. Chazru lomar, then they changed their mind and said, Piresh, harehu kechol adam. If he leaves the gabayhood, now he's like every other person, and if he accepts the divrei chaverut again, then that's fine. Little memra that we have here. In the end, it turns out that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yoshua in Karfa, who say that we always accept him back, especially according to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Tam reads it. And therefore, over here also, if he becomes a gabbai, that's not, it automatically posel him immediately. But if he leaves that position, then he can return. Now we have a story. Ravuna Barchia, it's Trichalei Shato. Ravuna Barchia, and now we have three ways to read this. Three way machloket how to read this. Trichalei Shato, which is the pashut, what I would have read it as is, he ran on hard times. He economically ran on hard times, and he had to do something about it. And that's the way the Marsha reads it. You have otherwise, Rashi reads it, it's Trichalei Shato, which is that they needed to ask him a question. He was a bar halacha. He was a very learned man. And the community needed him because they needed to ask him a question about halacha. So that's what it means, it's Trichalei Shato, that they needed to come speak to him. The other possibility is the Rabbeinu Gershom, he'd be sick, it was Bikur Cholim, which we see in other places. So one is that either fell in hard economic times, the other one is that he's sick, and they're paying a Bikur Cholim visit. The Rashi who says that they needed him because they needed a halacha question. Ayol Gabei, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Rabba and Rabbi Yosef were coming to him, with 400 pairs of Rabbanon to come to speak to him. He heard that they were on their way. He set up 400 chairs. He adorned them. He put together 400 chairs for all of them to sit. The in the end, they heard that he became gabai for the melech. He became the tax collector for the king, or he was appointed to some position of power in the civil authority. Zil zil. So again here, how to read this isn't so clear. One possibility, the way Rashi reads it is, Zil l'chashivute is Yelech l'chashivute, Achar l'chashivut shebachar l'yot moches, Vana lo l'yelech etzlo. So they say, basically, Zil l'chashivute, go to your honor, meaning the tax collecting position, V'zil l'chashivute, and we're not coming in front of you anymore, we're not coming to visit you anymore. You chose to take the honor of being a part of the authorities, and therefore, Zilakad Mutei, we're not going to come see you anymore. That's one possibility to read it. The other possibility is what the Rabbeinu Gershom says about Zilakad Mutei. Klomer, Hoyo Vahakvar Gabai, Yelech Lo Dechashvuto, Umanato Rishon, Vanon Alechitzlo. It means Zilakad Mutei means when he returns to his old position, after he comes back, Zilakad Mutei, we're going to come in front of him at that point in time. So the question of Chashivutei is, does the Chashivut refer to the tax collecting position? Or does it affect his position as a Talmud Chacham? So according to Rashi, it's saying, let him go be a tax collector and we're not coming anymore. Or is it saying, let him go, even if he goes back to being a Talmud Chacham, we're not coming to visit anymore. Because we had the story before, that once you've left the Chaverut and you've turned into a Gabai, Ein Chozrin, Ein Mekablin Oto, we don't take him back anymore. Shalach Lo Hadribi. So he sends them, I did tshuva. I did tshuva, I gave up the position of Gabbai Meches, and I want you to come to me. Rabbi Yosef lo azal. Rabbi Yosef still refused to go to him. Rabba azal. On the other hand, Rabba did. Rabbi Yosef amar tanina, we have what we just saw from the Tosefta Piresh. He left the Gabbai Tzedakah, Ein Mekablin Oto, he can't do tshuva, we don't accept him anymore, he's out. Rabba amar tanina, we have from the latter half of that Tosefta, Chazru lomar, Piresh, if he separates himself from him, if he leaves that position, then he's like everybody else, and he can re-accept the Divrei Chaverut, and it's fine. Therefore, Rabba went to visit him. Rabbi Yosef refused to go see him after he had taken that position. Tanra Banan. Kol ha-bechorot, Adam roeh chutz mishel atzmo. First he can look at the mumim on a bechor, except his own bechor. Vored kudoshav. On the other hand, if he has kudoshim that have mumim in them that need to be checked, he can check his own. Ved masrotav, here's talking about maaser behema. If he gets a mum in it, he can also check that. Venishal al tarotav, and if he has a question, a halachic question with regards to his tarot, he can also answer it on his own. So here we have, which is interesting, about a dayan, a mumche. He's allowed to paskin for himself in all these areas, except for bechor. Bechor is the exception to the rule where he can't give a psak for himself. He's considered to be self-dealing if he gives a psak about the bechor. Samamar. What are we talking about here? We're talking about one individual. I mean, he's paskening on his own animal. Mimhemet. Is he really believed? Elo betzlata. We're talking about a full beit din. It's a full beit din. Umi chashida. Is he chashud? Batanan. We have a mishnah on Yevamot. Mianau shochaltza b'fanav. If he sat in a beit din and the woman did miyun or chalitza to a man and he was part of the beit din that authorized that, Yisena, he can marry her. Mipneishu beit din. So because it's a beit din. I mean, if he's an individual, then we would be chashid that he was doing it for his own benefit. That he was helping this woman do chalitza, helping this woman do miyun, rejecting, if she's a ketana, rejecting her husband, or that he can marry her. But here, when he's part of a beit din, it might be that one person is driven to do something for his own benefit. Aval, we have a principle, but ein adam chote velolo. Person doesn't sin when it's not his own benefit. So when you have a beit din, maybe he would do it, but his two friends alongside of him, they have no benefit in allowing this woman to be divorced because they're not marrying her. It's this other guy. They won't do that. So therefore, since he's part of a beit din, we don't worry about it. So over here, if he's part of a beit din that's passing on the move of the bechor, we're not going to be choshed him just because it's his bechor, because you have the other two who won't lie for his benefit. So that can't be it. Ela b'chad. Has to be l'olam b'chad. We're talking about him himself giving the psak halacha. Gudam Rav Chisdam Rabbi Yochanan b'yachid mumcheh. The same thing that we have by Hatarat Nedarim. Just like by Hatarat Nedarim, you can either use three people or a yachid mumcheh. So still over here, achanam b'yachid mumcheh. In terms of being matir mumim in the bechor, a mumcheh yachid is beseder. So over here, he would be able to paskin on his own bechor, and we say he cannot. V'ro'ed kodoshav. Why is it that by bechor we say no? It's very easy to understand why we would reject it, because he's self-dealing. It's a very big chash that he will paskin in his own favor, and that he will do something to benefit himself. So we don't allow him to do that. We protect him, or we force him away from it. So why is it by the other cases we don't say that? V'ro'ed kodoshav, where he can look at his own kodoshim, d'iboy mitchel alayu, because it's a migo. The migo is that if he really can't figure out how to get it to be mutar, it can be matir the neder. Being makdish something is the equivalent of a neder, and therefore you're going to be shoal ala neder, you can do a tarat nedarim and get rid of it. It's not worth his while to lie about the mum when it can all just be matir neder. You can get a petach la neder and eliminate the kodshim legamre. Therefore, since he has that migo, we believe him when it says that it's a real mum. Umasrotav. But maser behema di bayi shadi behemum ukuliedre. By maser behema, what he could do is he can put a mum in all the animals before they go through the count for maser behema. Put a mum in all 10 animals. They go under the shevet. No matter which one he make into makadish, it's maser behema. It already have a mum in it. I don't think it's a problem, because they're chulin. Might not be the nicest thing to do, but it's the same thing with your marim and the chuman in the masrot, when you bring it in derech agag. If you do it, it works. We're not going to look so favorably upon that, but it's a legal way to do it. And so do over here. This would be a legal way to do it. And therefore, since he had that alternative, if he comes here, we're not going to suspect him of doing it the other way, where he's going to put the mum in afterwards, or that he's going to paskin about a mum over there, that is a mum kavua. It's just not worth it to him. I would note that there's a clear difference between these two. In the case of the Kodoshim, the Migo is, right now, he has a choice. He could be Matir Neder, or he could put a Mum in it, or say that the Mum is a Mum Kavua. So right now he has a Migo. But the Meiser Behema, he would have had to plan ahead of time. When we're standing here in front of us, with the Meiser Behema in front of us that has a Mum in it, did he put the mumim in the hole either before or not? The answer might be that he didn't. But we say since he had that opportunity to do it, we believe him now. So it's different. Right now with this Meiser Behema in front of him, he doesn't have that choice anymore. That choice is gone. But we believe him because he could have premeditated and put a mum in the hole either. He didn't do that. But we still believe him on that migo. It's very interesting. That's a much different migo than the migo he has by Ro'et Kodoshah, by Kodoshim. And then the last case, by Tarot. Benishal ala Tarot, da... because he can use them when he is tamei. So tarot are not just a zero. Tarot can be used when you're tahor, and those that are tameot can be used when you're tamei. Now the problem with that, Rashi raises the problem, and so does Tosafot. Rashi says it has to be bechulin kamari, because that's not true by truma. By truma, if it comes tamei, it's a serious issue, because then it's not edible anymore. You can't eat truma that became tameah. You can't use it anymore. You have to burn it. So therefore, it does make a difference by Truma, and he would, according to Rashi, not be believed by Truma. Tosafot leaves it as a tzarech ion. He says, I don't understand. Temo Truma tmeyat lo chazilei. So he says, v'chi lo yeh ne'aman, like Rashi says, he won't be believed over there. V'chein b'shar kol iser v'heter. All iser v'heter, we're not going to believe him in. I mean, any iser v'heter, he has no gab at the bar, whether it's treifa or not treifa. That is nogea b'davar. So we say anytime he's nogea b'davar, he's not believed in Isir v'Heter. It's really questionable. He says, Atos says, I don't know if that's true. It brings a sugyot where we say that Tzurba de Rabbanon can pass in for himself in Isir v'Heter. We have in the Gemara in the beginning of Gittin of Ech Erechad Neman B'Isurim. Tosafot there also speaks about the fact that a woman is believed about her v'safra la, recounting the days of Nida. She's believed about the Trumot Masrot in the house. Now, again, whether this is the same or not, maybe is questionable. Erechad Neman B'Isurim might be that they're really testifying. That's different than our case over here. But their other tzad, the Erechad Neman B'Isurim, is just a nemanut. You're believed. And so if they're believed in those cases, why shouldn't you be believed over here as well? Even if it's Truma. Those who leave it at Tzarchion, why is it that by Isurim that we're not going to believe you? Now, by monetary matters, we know that there could be a lot to be suspect about. But Isur V'Heter, we're less suspicious about the individual when it comes to Isur V'Heter. So therefore, he doesn't know for sure what the outcome should be over here, as opposed to Rashi, who says clearly it's only talking about Chulin and not about Truma. Yeah, with that, we end the parak.
Are we looking from the point person himself or from another person? If we're looking from another person's standpoint, then what I'm saying is everything is tamei.
It's different to be Naman in clear cases, where you know it's tamei tahor. We believe you to tell us that this is tamei, this is tahor. It's different than when we are acquiring you achra, you have a suffix now, and we want you to determine which way it goes.
By another chaver,
he gets a nemanut that this is tahor, this is tamei, this is tahor tamei. Over here, he has to be machri on an object that is a suffix tamei to tara. We say that he might self-deal and make it tahor, even though it's tamei. When there's a suffix, a person is matir for himself. If it's obvious tamei, he would say it was tamei. If it's obvious tahor, he would say it was tahor. We're talking about achra in the case of suffix. Over there, do we believe someone about their own things? Normally, a chaver would have to go to someone else and get a psach halacha. Because we look at this individual to be neman. Therefore, we don't call it a safek. If he says it's tahor, we believe him that it's tahor. If he says it's tameh, we believe him it's tameh. That there's a chra. It's a case where there's a safek. He knows that. Something happened and there's a safek regarding this food. What do we do with it? So does he have to take it to another chacham to ask, or can he pass him for himself about this safek? Psach halacha, hachra. It's a big difference. It's a very big difference. In dinei nida, a woman can pass him for herself when it's things that are obvious to her. If she requires hachra, she can't do it. She's not neman for herself. She has to go ask a rav about hachra. In Shulchan Aruch, a ketem is less than a size of a grease. That's clear. She can say that she's tahor. But if there's a question about the color where there's something and she doesn't know when it's a hachra, then you have to go to a rav for hachra.
She doesn't know.
No, she can't give hachra. She's an expert in marodam. She can't give hachra to other people. That's exactly what she can't do. And for herself, she can't be machriya unless she knows for certain that this color is not a color. Meaning that if she, for herself, knows that for certain this is not, but if it's in a color that's and needs hachra, like browns, certain browns need hachra, she can't be machriya. That's something that she can't do. Kol psulei amukdashim nikarim biidlis v'nishkatin biidlis. We've seen this before in Chulin, which is any psulei amukdashim which get a mum in them, and therefore they're going to be sold. They're sold in the marketplace. V'nishkalim b'litra, and they can be weighed on the scale. So they're sold, shechted in the marketplace, they can be weighed on the scale. Meaning the way their meat is sold regularly. On the other hand, chutz min habechor v'maser. The two that are excluded from that are bechor maser, they get a mum. You cannot sell it that way. Shaniatan lebalim. Here the Mishnah explains why. Because the benefit over there, or the beneficiary, is the balim. The balim are either the owner of the maser or the kohen by the bechor. Sulei makdushim, on the other hand, haniatam lehekdesh. The beneficiary by the sale of sulei makdushim is hekdesh. Shuklim, mana, keneged mana, the bechor. By Bechor, if you already have in your house pieces that you weighed out, you can weigh a piece of the Bechor against that piece that's there. Not the regular where they put weights on one side of the scale and the Bechor on the other side of the scale. You can't do the regular weighing, but you can weigh it one piece against the other piece. So basically the issue is that a Bechor that gets a mum in it, a Maisa that gets a mum in it, what do you do with it? You don't redeem them. You do is you sell it, and it's money to the Balim. So if you sell it, because it's now Chulin the Gamre, anybody can eat it. If you go and sell it, all the benefit goes to the Balim. So over there, they're not going to allow you to be mavazik kodashim in order to benefit yourself, to be the beneficiary. By kodashim, when you have psulei mukdashim, who does the money go to? The animal has to be redeemed from hekdesh. All the money will accrue to hekdesh. And therefore, since the beneficiary is hekdesh, will allow you to be mavazik here for the short term, the kodashim, and sell them in the shuk, in order that hekdesh will benefit from the greatest amount of money. Now, Tosfot over here mentions that even though the Mishnah gives us a reason for this, there's a logical reason to say, differentiate between Sulei Mukdashim and Bechor Maser. Nevertheless, he says it's a din d'oraita. He says this is not just a logical argument, it's not just a prayer, but there's a din d'oraita that we learn out of the psukim. And he says, maybe in the end, Shema Mikra Nafka Deino Agim Bezayom Badarshin Antan Hegedesh. He says, maybe from psukim we can derive, or we can conclude, the, what is the reason that with the Torah says, by Bechor Maser, don't sell them. By Psukim Mikdashim, it says you can redeem them. It's maybe because of this reason, and that's what the Mishnah is doing. It's the reason behind why the Torah separated the din of Psukim Mikdashim from the din of Bechor Maser. Right, so now the Gemara asks, call Psukim Mikdashim Hanatam Lehekdesh. So we said in our Mishnah that the reason that Psukim Mikdashim, you can't sell them in a regular manner, is because the beneficiary, all the benefit accrues to Hekdesh. Emat. When did this happen? When did he sell them in the shuk? Ilei malachar pidjono. If he already redeemed them from Hekdesh, Hanatan Hekdesh, Hanatan the Balimi. The benefit then doesn't go to Hekdesh, it goes to the Balim. He already redeemed it from Hekdesh. He paid for the animal already. He's selling it now. He's selling it for his own benefit. This is going to be his money. So what about Zvelefnei pidjono? It's before his redemption. It says, but our Mishnah talks about Nishchatin. How could it be that he shechted it before the redemption? Aboy Amad of Arocha. In order to redeem the animal, you need to have it stand before a Kohen, stand it before some expert assessors in order to know how much you need to redeem it for. If you shecht it, it can't stand in front of them. Requirement for Amad HaBaracha does not apply to Kodshei Mizbeach. That would work well, because then over here you could shecht it, no question. According to one who says that Kodshei Mizbeach still require this assessment, how could you shecht it first? It's after the redemption. After the redemption, Hekdesh gets nothing. You already paid Hekdesh off. What does it mean that there's another Hekdesh? Adami Koro. It will influence the price he pays to redeem it. He will increase the price he's willing to redeem it for. So what we're saying over here, what we're suggesting over here, is that the person looking at redeeming this animal, the amount he's willing to redeem the animal for, the price that he's willing to pay, will be determined by what he can fetch for this animal after he redeems it. If he can't sell the animal on the shuk after he's redeemed it, if he can't fetch a good price for it, he won't redeem it for a high price. If, on the other hand, he believes he can sell it in the shuk afterwards, he'll redeem it at a much higher price. If the animal fetches a good price in the shuk, then he will redeem it at a much higher price. So the Gemara says that we're matir him to sell it in the end, because that will influence the amount that is redeemer, the price that he's willing to pay to redeem it from Hekdesh, and that benefit is to Hekdesh. The terminal value of this animal, literally the terminal value of this animal, will determine what he's willing to pay when it's still alive and he's redeeming it from Hekdesh. Bishlama Bakur Bitlis Hutlo Mizdabin Hababeta Mizdabin. By the Bakur, I understand that you can't sell it out in the shuk, but you can sell it out of your house. Ela Maser Bebeta Mizdabin. Can you really sell Maser Behema even out of your house? Can you sell it at all? Our Mishnah groups them together. Batanya, we have a Braita that says, Motiv De Vinim Karchai. The Balim themselves cannot redeem it. Vinim Karchai is the coin is allowed to sell it. If it's a Balmum, again, if the Mikdash is not extant, the Nim Kachai could possibly even apply to a Tam, because then the only thing to do with the Tam is wait for it to get a Mum. So there, maybe you could sell that right to wait for it to get a Mum. But Maser Nemar Lo Yigael, Menu Nimkar Lo Chai Velo Shachut Lo Tam Velo Bamum. By Maser, instead of saying Lo Tivde, it says Lo Yigael. So that teaches us the additional restrictions that it's not sold, not Chai, not Shachut, not alive, not after it's dead. Lo Tam Velo Bamum. Doesn't matter. You can never sell Maser Behema, as opposed to the Bechor, which you could sell. I'm Milta, Ikshile, the Rav Sheshit, Ba'urta. Rav Sheshit had this problem at night. The Shanya Bekadmuta Ami Braita. Early in the morning, he woke up and he had the solution to it from a Braita. B'maser Behema, Shayutomim, Askinan. Our mission is talking about the Maser Behema of Yutomim, Umishuma Shavat Aveida, and Aguba. Because of Shavat Aveida, we allow them to sell it. The Gemara will get back to this in a second. The Gemara is going to now go on a tangent for a second. But that's his answer as to why Meiser is found in our Mishnah and says that you could sell it in our Mishnah. Ravidi, Sarsei de Rav Sheshet Havo. Ravidi was the Misharet of Rav Sheshet. He serviced Rav Sheshet. Shama Minei. He heard this answer from him. Azalam Rabbe Midrasha Abloom Ramishmei. He ran to the Beit Midrash. He told over the answer of Rav Sheshet, but he forgot to say it over in his name. Shama Rav Sheshet, Rav Sheshet heard about it, and Ikbit, he was very upset. They didn't say over his name. Amar Manda Akitz Leakze, or Akrova. The one who bit should be stung by a scorpion. And Rashi observed it stung by a scorpion means he should put in shamta. He should put into excommunication for not quoting it in my name. The one who caused me to have pain and bit me should be bitten himself. Rav Sheshit might have to let me know. What's the difference to Rav Sheshit? The halacha got out. He had the halacha right. Why should it matter that he says it over in his name or not? What does it say in the pasuk? How could it be that a person lives in his tent in two worlds? David, people should say over Memrod, halachot in my name in this world. This is something we bumped into numerous times. Kol tamid chacham shomrim davar shmua bipiv olam hazeh. A tamid chacham where they're saying over divrei halacha, divrei Torah in his name in this world. Siftov tov dovavot bekever. His lips quiver in the grave. It's as if he's still alive. It's as if he's still speaking. Because the halacha is being passed on, that which is said over in his name. From Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ziri, Mikra. What's the pasuk that we learned this from? It says, V'chikech tiyein atov, holeich lidodi lemesherim, dovtev sifte yishenim, kikomer shel anavim. So his smile is like the good wine. Holeich lidodi lemesherim, my beloved walks along the path of straightness, dovev sifte yishenim. While he's sleeping, his lips quiver, kikomer shel anavim, like the basket of grapes. The Komer Shel Avanim is when they put the grapes in before they're going to press them. They put them together for a couple of days into a basket so that they start to get soft and they get mushy in order that the pressing should go well. So my Komer Shel Avanim came with them, no gabo dovev. By the Komer Avanim, as soon as a person touches them or lifts them up, they all shake, they quiver. After Amir Chachamim, Kemish Adam Omer Davar Shema Bipi, person says over something's name, Dovavot Sifatav Bekever, his lips quiver in the grave, and that's what it means in the Pasuk, Dovev Siftei Yishenim, those that were sleeping, those that are sleeping are those that are dead, but they're Dovev Siftei, that their lips quiver, and based on this idea like the Komer Shel Anavim, because people are saying over something in their name. Right, so that was the tangent that the Gemara just ran on, to say why Rav Sheshit was upset that he didn't say over in his name, or if he didn't say over in his name, because it's meaningful to say it over someone's name because that gives them life. It gives them life after death. Now the Gemara comes back and says, my Braita. What was the Braita that Rav Sheshit found that made him answer that we did in the Mishnah? The Tanya. Maser Beima She Yitomim Mukrim Oto. Comes the Maser Beima of Yitomim, we could sell it. Maser Beima She Shachato Mavlio Be'oro Bechelbo Ubegido Bekarnav. You're not allowed to sell Maser Beima, so you can do Havla'ah. You can include it in the sale of the skin. You can sell the skins. You can sell the fats. Sell the gidim, the sinews, uber karnav, or its horns. And along with that, you'll give away the meat for free. So you'll sell those items for a slightly higher price. And you'll throw in the meat along with them. My kamar. This bright does a little bit cryptic. Because you have it say, first of all, maaser behema can be sold. And then you say, maaser behema cannot be sold. It has to be put together with other items. So Amar Abaye, we're going to have a solution from Abaye, and then we're going to have a solution from Rava. Rabbi Yochi Kamar, maaser behema shel yitomim mochrim oto behavla'a. Abaye basically says is that the Braita is telling us one thing, which is that the maaser behema, the animals, maaser behema of yitomim, you're allowed to sell them behavla'a. You're allowed to sell them when they are subsumed other another item. Michlau, from that you would conclude the gadol behavla'a lo. When it comes to a gadol, you can't do with havla'ah. Over here, you could question what the word gadol means. This is a question that Tosafot deals with in other places, is who's considered to be yatom. Is a yatom only someone who is a katan? As long as he's a minor, he's classified as a katan. Over here, where it says gadol means that he's come of age and he's still a yatom. He is a yatom of age, but he's not called a yatom anymore because he came of age. That's one possibility. The other possibility is a person who used the word yatom katan, not because they're literally katanim, not because they're literally minors, but they are sumeich on someone else to support them. They are dependents. So the word here could mean dependents. Any yatom, which is a dependent. Maybe even if he's of age, he's still a dependent. Or does it mean literally katan? And the gadol on the other side of that will mean the opposite. Does gadol mean someone of age or someone who is independent? So you can read it either way, but just be aware, by yatomim, you always have that question. The Gemara says, so it sounds by katan, yes. By gadol, no. Maishna, Miha Ditnan. How is this different than the Mishnah that we saw in Sukkah? Okay, ach lulav mechaveiro bishvi'it. Someone who purchases a lulav from his friend in Shvi'it, lulav doesn't have a din in Shvi'it, therefore you could sell them on Shvi'it. Noten lo et etrog b'matana. The etrog is problematic. Now fruits in general, their din for which year they belong to is b'chanata, the year in which they budded, the year in which they flowered and budded. So that would be for an etrog, would already be shishit. And here it's the beginning of the Shemitah year, so you could buy the etrog. So what's the problem over here is that etrog is the exception to the rule. The Gemara in Sukkah discusses this from the Mishnayot, that there's a machloket about what the status of etrog is, but the conclusion is that the etrog goes batar l'kita, the time that you pick it. And therefore the etrog, which was picked right now in the seventh year, has a din of shvi'it. Today they deal with it either by picking them before shvi'it. You can pick them a week and a half before Sukkot to sell them, as long as you pick them before the shvi'it year comes. Or they do havla'ah, like we said over here. They do otzer beit din, they do havla'ah, all these different methodologies to get around the problem selling etrogim on the shvi'it year. So here, the suggestion is you sell the lulav, give him the etrog for a present. He doesn't want to give him the etrog for free. What do you do? You'll subsume in the price of the lulav the etrog. That's fine. The Gemara says, this is unbelievable because it's not true in our time. It's not true in our day. Over there, by the etrog and the lulav, it's not obvious that you're paying more for the etrog. If you buy the lulav and you pay a little more for the lulav, it's not obvious that you're also paying for the etrog. Which today is not the case. Today an etrog costs anywhere between 5, 10, 15 times the price of a lulav. So you can't say, oh, I purchased the lulav for 300 shekel, 400 shekel, and that includes the lulav. If you bought the lulav by itself, it would be 100 shekel, 50 shekel, 200 shekel. So together it's going to cost a hefty price, and that's mukha milta in their time. If you sold them the lulav, you wouldn't have known that the etrog was included, and I don't think it's true today. So over here, hacha mukha milta, here you sell the horns. You sell the gidim, you sell the bones, and you include the basar, the price differential is so big that it's obvious that you're selling the basar. Because of the, like today for etrog, it's obvious that you're including the price of the etrog in the lulav. Therefore, that's the difference between the case of the etrog and lulav and our case over here. That's the way Abai explains the braita. It's one case that the yitomim, mokrim oto, and how they sell it? They sell it through havla'ah. But a gadol can never sell it. Right, one thing to note over here, Rashi talks about the problem of Perot Shvi'it. The fact is that you're not allowed to do Schora and Perot Shvi'it. Rashi, every time we talk about Schora and Perot Shvi'it, says the problem is Bi'ur. We're afraid that the monies that the Am Haaretz takes when he sells you the Etrog, when he sells you something at Perot Shvi'it, he's not going to be Mevayer them in the Zman of Bi'ur. Rashi always says Schora and Perot Shvi'it, the problem is Bi'ur. We're afraid the person's not going to be Mevayer them in time, he's not going to be Mevayer the money that's Nitpas in the Kedusha. That's what worries us. Tosafot in many places asks the question, he says, I don't think that's the problem. I think there's an underlying issur in schorah beperot shvi'it. The issue with schorah beperot shvi'it is schorah beperot shvi'it. It's actually transacting in perot shvi'it, but there's an issur min haTorah based on the diuk by the pasuk that is the achila that I gave them for you to eat, velo l'schorah, and not to transact in them. And therefore, the underlying issur is a problem in schorah beperot shvi'it, not a problem that we worry about biur beperot shvi'it. And again, here Rashi is consistent. He says the problem with buying the lulav and the etrog, v'ein moskrim d'mei peirot shvi'it la'maretz. If you buy it from him, he's going to have money of shvi'it. She'oseh b'hem schora v'einu mivaran b'zman ha-biur. He's going to do schora, and he won't put them away. He won't remove them at the time of the biur. K'shekal ha-chayim mi'asadeh. So Rashi consistent with the shito that the problem with schora peirot shvi'it is to worry about biur in the end. Tosafot says the ikur schora is problematic. The fact that you're transacting in peirot shvi'it, that in itself is problematic. I don't understand your explanation in the Braita, because the Braita says, Tanya Maser Behema Shiyotomim, and then it says Maser Behema again. The fact that it said Maser Behema twice sounds to me like there are two cases over here. Al Amarova, this is the explanation of the Braita. Maser Behema Shiyotomim Mokrim Oto Kidarko. Maser Behema Yotomim, you could sell straight out. Maser Behema de Gadol Shishachato. Maser Behema of a Gadol that he shecht and Mavlio Beoro Bechelbo Begido Bekanav. You could do Havla'ah for the Behema of a Gadol. Amar Rav Amar Aminullah. How can I prove this to you? Dichtiv. So obviously he can't argue on the practical implications that Abaye said before, that Havla'ah is a little more obvious over here. So then how can Rav be matir this? If this is an Isur Doraita, how can Rav be matir such a thing? So the answer is that Rav is basically going to say it's not an Isur Doraita, it's only an Isur Dorabonon. And the Rabbanon waived the Isur Dorabonon in certain circumstances. And that's because that's what I mentioned to you before. The Lo Yigael was mentioned by the Isser of Tmurah by Meiser Behema. The Yahu, Tmurah Daya Kodesh, Lo Yigael. Ematai Yosit Tmurah. When can an animal do Tmurah? Mechayim, while it's still alive. Ematai Enu Nigael, Mechayim. So the Lo Yigael will apply to the same time that he can't make it a Tmurah. Just like Tmurah is only applicable while it's alive, the Enu Nigael is also Mechayim. Halacha shchita. The implications from that are after shchita nigal, you're allowed to redeem it. You're allowed to sell it. V'rabbonon who the gazru lachar shchita atul lifnei shchita. How come the Mishnah? The Mishnah later on in this Masechta is going to tell us that meiser behema you cannot sell whether it's alive or whether it's dead. You can't sell it. Shachut, you can't sell it. So why is that? So that's a din d'rabbanon, the gazru lachar shchita. David goes that you can't sell it after shchita for. Prior to Shkita, they don't want you to do this. Davar nishom mechayim gazru banan achar Shkita. Something that can be assessed while it's alive, that's where the Rabbanim goes there. Atul lifnei Shkita. Davar she'enu nishom mechayim. Something that was not assessed or part of the price while it was alive, lo gazru rabbanon. So here, what we're talking about, when you talk about the bones and you talk about the horns, these are items that a person does not purchase when it's alive. When an animal's alive, you don't buy it for its bones and for its horns, you buy it for its basar. That's the mainstay, that's the main price of an animal. That's the only thing that will determine the price of the animal, is the basar. The other things are just the cherry on top. Those are nice things to include, but they're not what you pay the price for. So something that you would pay for before while it's alive, then we say that when it's dead, you can't buy it. But over here, since those items are not sold while it's alive, therefore over here, when it's dead, they have no restriction. And that's how you do it. Derech havla'ah with those items. Based on that, the Rabbanim goes there. Ubiat me okmua rabbanan adoraita. But he told me the Rabbanim went back to the adoraita because of a Shabbat Aveda. What is this Hashavat Aveda? Should have mentioned this earlier, but what's the Hashavat Aveda over here? The problem is Rashi says that the Tomim are young, and they're not so many, then they shek the whole behemah, they can't eat the whole thing. It's gonna go bad. They have no refrigeration in their day, no freezers. So if you shek the meat and you don't eat it in a short period of time, it's gonna go bad. So if we don't allow them to sell it, we're never gonna shek meat for them because they don't have the ability, they don't have the wherewithal to consume all that meat in a short period of time. And that's the Shabbat Aveda of the Yitomim, that we protect them, we take care of them, we allow them to sell it in order that they can have meat. You can't argue on that reality, but what Rav is saying is really a din d'rabbanan. So Rabbanan were matir in this derech of havla, even though it's a little bit obvious, because it's only a din d'rabbanan. Once you do a havla, you're doing it in a derech shinoi, you're not going to come to mess that up when you sell it alive. When you sell it alive, nobody sells the horns and then says, I'll throw the meat in. The ikar of the price is the meat. So if you do this quirky way, this havla, when it's dead, even though maybe it's not, it's mukva milsa that you're really paying for the meat, but since you did it derech shinoi, that's already okay, because even if you did it in the regular sale, it would only be a din d'rabbanan. So here, that would be maybe exera to exera or shinoi, and the Rabbanim goes there in that type of case. Rabbi says it's all d'oraita. And that the havla here is muta d'oraita. There we were talking about shvi'it, if you remember. Shvi'it is a din d'oraita, and we're allowing you to do it to derech havla b'shvi'it, but that's a din d'oraita. Rabbi says that yes, there's an isur d'oraita to sell the ishachut animal. Now that might be d'rabbanan, but the basar, the underlying basar is a din d'oraita. So therefore, even if you do it in this havla'ah way, we're going to say it's not mukhla milten, and it looks like you're buying the basar, and that would be an isur d'oraita to buy the basar. The explanation of our Mishnah is, we're talking about a meiser behema of Yitomim. That's why our Mishnah says, the bechor and the maser you could sell from your house, not from the shuk. What do you mean you can sell a meiser behema? Since when can you sell a meiser behema? So Bayis says the case is meiser behema, that Rav Sheshi is talking about is a meiser behema of Yitomim, behavla. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. And Rava says, no, it's talking about a meiser behema of Yitomim, without havla. You can sell it regularly, and that's what our Mishnah is discussing. That's the answer of Rav Sheshi, our Mishnah is discussing this meiser behema. Now, the Gemara now continues, v'afram shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak savralala hadarova. He holds of this same principle of Rava. When it means he holds of it, he says he has the same outcome, but not from the same pasuk. He doesn't have the same reason, but in the end, he comes to the same conclusion. How do you know that you're allowed to sell it straight out, like Rava says? That's what you do with the psulei mukdashim. What has no bracha while it's alive, but after shkita, v'mer zeh maser beima. That is the Maser Be'ema. Because while it's alive, the Kodashim get a mum in them, regular Psulei Mukdashim, you can redeem them. But a Maser Be'ema you can't redeem. So there is no Hana'ah. So is it davar she'en bo bracha mechayim el achar shkita? What is something that has no bracha while it's alive, but after shkita, it does have a bracha, and that's what it means, tizbach v'chalto basar, you'll shecht it, and then it'll be available to you? That's a Maser Be'ema. That's not true by regular Kodashim. If they get a mum in them, you redeem them. And you can get a benefit while they're alive. You can sell them while they're alive. And same thing with the Bechor. You can sell it while it's alive. A Bechor Baal Mum can be sold. It's Mamona Kohen. The only one that has that restriction is Maiser Beima. But you see that Bechor Avad Nafshecha Tizbach Bechal Du Basar, when is there that Heter? When does the Hanoah come? Only after you shecht it? The only answer to that question could be a Maiser Beima, which has a problem while it's alive. So based on that, he says, or comes to the same conclusion as Rava, which is that only when it's alive is it problematic. But once it's a shachut, then you could sell it, and it'd be okay to sell it. All right, we'll stop over here.